Yo, what's up, and welcome back to another episode of the Betascape podcast. You know, the podcast dedicated to all things masturbation and solo sexuality. Check it. I am so excited for this episode. I have been wanting this guest on my pod for a few years now, and we finally made it happen. I hope you enjoy this conversation with author and gooner M.B. Timothy. When I first came on the scene, he was one of the first masturbators that really helped guide and educate me on solo sexuality lifestyle. And I'm so, so happy to produce this episode and to have you listen to this episode. It really is a full circle moment for me. So please enjoy our conversation. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you enjoy it.
We got our times right. I just noticed this morning that, our time changed. So it's earlier than I'm expecting.
Like a time change in Australia?
Yeah, so we do the daylight savings. Do you do that? Something like that?
Yeah, ours, I feel, was like maybe 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
We just changed over last weekend.
Nice. So I'm so excited to talk to you. I feel like maybe I should probably just get out of the way and just say it's so cool just meeting you and like having this conversation, because when I first came on the scene, like when I first was starting to explore like my beta-ness and my sexuality, like you were the person. Like I was reading your books, I was like following you along, and I was just like, this person is asking all the questions I've ever wanted to ask myself. So thank you for like, you know, just being present and like showing who you are, and
I love hearing that. Thank you so much. And likewise people. I've been following you now for probably 5-6 years, so it feels reciprocal.
Oh well, thank you so much. Yeah, I feel like Real Men Masturbate was probably the first book I ever bought. See that? Because I was just like,
you're going to reference something. So that, like,
yeah, that's a, well, yes. I mean, this book.
Thank
is
you for buying the books.
I bought a couple of your books. I love your work. It's probably one of the reasons why I feel like so drawn to you, because I was just like, oh, like he's combining all these amazing things into like this outlet, right? Like your artistry and like your author. Well, okay, who people on the pod who don't know who I'm talking to, I'm talking to M.B. Timothy, gooner, solo sexual extraordinaire, author, amazing human to the beta community.
Hello, everyone.
We're talking about your books. Yeah, so the first question you were asked in your book was like, oh, one of the first questions was, do I masturbate too much? And I was like, oh, like around that time I'd been masturbating so much that I was like, oh, this is probably like, I was like trying to pathologize myself, and I was like, there's probably something bigger going on. And then you come along and you're just like, no, I just really love to masturbate. Like, there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with me. There's nothing wrong with the act. Like, it was just like this normalized thing that you were doing. And that's cool.
Yeah. I mean, but, you know, with that in mind, I didn't emerge sort of fully formed. You know, I asked myself that same question. And in the pursuit of that answer, you find other betas. And that's what's great about, you know, that jumping off point with that question is that, you know, I Googled that. I was like, oh my God, I'm masturbating so much. Do I masturbate too much? And then I landed on Bait World. You know, and then you find a community, you find, you know, other betas, and you sort of, you know, if you allow yourself, you just realize that there is nothing wrong with what you're doing. Mm-hmm. It's you know, quite a beautiful thing. And I also had another friend who was a beta as well, and also a psych student at the time. He's now like fully fledged psychologist, good friend of mine. Mm-hmm. And he said the exactly same thing that you just said, which is, you know, like, why are you pathologizing yourself that you've got some sort of problem? Mm-hmm. And it just really, that came at the right time for me. And I was like, yeah, There's absolutely nothing wrong with what I'm doing. And in fact, I could lean into it even more. And yeah, that's really how I started. And yeah, it was on Bait World and then writing articles for the beta blog. And then that led into writing the books too.
Yeah, I feel like that was so I found Bait World. Well, actually, I found a guy, a baiter in New York that was just like, you're such a baiter, like you should check this thing out, or like you should really, kind of do more research on it, which led me to Bait World, which then led me to you. And I think right on the homepage, they were advertising your book, and I was just like, okay, this is a really perfect way to start. And
And then
so
you started,
yeah.
you wrote some articles with for the beta blog.
I did. I think yeah, so I think I forgot what I think I might have posted something on Twitter, and then Bait World reached out and they were just like, oh, we think you'd be perfect to like write this thing. And I'd written kind of like a letter, just like an open, I guess like a coming out of like a beta coming out letter. And then I
Yeah.
penned and I put it on Bait World and it got a lot of traction. I think that's kind of where it came from. But yeah,
Nice. Remember that.
it's just really cool to think that like if you're just authentically you and you are writing passionately, or just so passionately talking about the things that really make you who you are, you're gonna get that community. That makes sense. Like you'll find your people eventually if you're just like stay true to the course or stay true to who you are.
Absolutely. I mean, whoever would have thought that me writing so many books about masturbation would find a readership. Like, had you sort
So
of
good.
posed that question, people would have said, oh no, no one's ever going to read so many books about that. But it has happened, and that's the thing. I was just like passionately focused on masturbation as a topic, and I still have people say to me, is there how can you write so much on this one topic? I'm like, well, it's endless. Like, there's so much to explore. And it has happened. People have been reading the books and responding to the books, and it just keeps me going. It's just the most wonderful thing that as a writer, that you've got a kind of passionate readership. Otherwise, you're sort of just shooting stuff into the dark. But I've been both surprised and really delighted that people have jumped on it.
Yeah, I'm glad that people do. I think in the community, like you have to understand, like you are a voice, right? Like you do have this certain authority. There's conversations about you all the time. To say like, oh, like there's this person, like when people ask me like, who do you follow, like who inspires you, I point them in your direction. Because also too, because you do have so much literature out, and I think that's like the coolness about it, because all the books that you've written are so vastly different from one another. I mean, they're all folk, like you said, there's so much, just like an endless well of things you could write about masturbation, because it's such a great thing to write about.
Oh yeah. Honestly, it's the most exciting topic for me. I write other things in my life. But like when I focus on a new book or any of these books, writing any of these books, it's so exciting. Like, I just love it. It comes, I just get really excited to sit down at the computer and do the work. It just feels like all these parts of my life come together, the creative part of my life, my absolute love for masturbation, my love for, the community just all comes together. And so it just feels like I've got a really good purpose. And yeah, no, you're right. The books are very different. There's fiction, there's kind of self-help guides, there's like essays. So, they kind of keep it fresh in terms of form and what they're doing. But I sort of hope as well that I'm developing as a writer, and that the books are becoming more sophisticated as I go along. That's really important to me.
Were
you know.
you intimidated? Have you always been a writer, or were you intimidated? Like, how did you know that you needed to write a book?
No, I've always been a writer.
Okay,
Like,
cool.
I've always been a masturbator, and I've always been a writer. Like, the two of those things are like the constants in my life. So always writing stories, writing poems, writing plays, like writing something that comes to me really naturally. And then, yeah, I kind of was like, I really want to write books. I wanted to write longer fiction. And then initially, my very first book was a kind of memoir, which is, I think, what most people write when they first write a book. You know, like, it's the form of writing a book and the patience that you need for the process and the amount of time that you need and the tenacity that you need is pretty intense just to keep going and finish. And so if you're writing about yourself and your experiences, it can kind of make it a little bit easier. So my very first book was a memoir, but at the same time, a very sort of slippery memoir for anyone that has read Cedar. So it's kind of like it sort of slips through time, and like it's not like this happened and this happened and this happened in my life, but I wanted it to be very sensual and almost dreamlike. So there was like the little novelist in me, like the fiction novelist, was still at work even though I was writing something which was like true to my experience in my life. And then that's a very strange book. I don't know if you ever read Cedar,
I did read
but
Cedar.
it's like half memoir, and then halfway through it, it flicks into a novella, like absolute fiction novella. So it's just it was such a strange form, but it felt for me that's what I wanted to do with it. And so the second half of it is absolute fiction set in a kind of dystopian world where people kind of trade bait in order to survive and to care for each other and that sort of thing. So that really sort of said to me, I can do fiction, I can write nonfiction. And then I just started to think about what I wanted to do next.
Yeah. What do you want to do next?
Well, after that, I did like a couple of the sort of the nonfiction things. I did like the self-help guide, but 24-hour masturbation master,
I do
real
like
men.
that book, The 24-Hour Masturbation Beta. It's just cool because it's like so big. But
I know. Somebody
it's
is like,
cool, and there's all these like gorgeous pictures of you in there.
oh
And like
yes, there are pictures
other
of me
things.
littered through there.
It's really cool.
And like I just wanted to kind of break it down, and it's almost like an A to Z of baiting and bait culture. From my point of view, it's the book which is absolutely sort of written for the person who's just sort of discovered the community. And trying to work out, like, there's just so much to it. It's like, it's not just, guys masturbating together. There's just so much to bait culture, and it's always growing, it's always changing. And so 24-hour masturbation master is like my kind of mission. Like, if you read the whole book in one day, you'd be a master by tomorrow. That was like my kind of my mission for it.
I feel like it's ambitious for sure. But
Well,
you laid down the groundwork so we don't have to it's all in this book. You have it.
yeah.
It's all for you laid out. See, you're doing the work,
Every
bro.
everything you need to get started, and like basically, that's really what it is. It's like, okay, here's all the information. Here's everything about bait culture. Here's like technique. Here's like good kind of way to think about things and very like positivity. And then it's over to you. Like from tomorrow onwards, after 24 hours, it's over to you, and you become the beta that you should be.
But don't you think a lot of ways you're writing this stuff for yourself too? Like, I'm sure, like, there's a thought, like, oh, I wish a book like this had existed when I was first coming out or when I was around. And so I feel like you take it upon yourself to just kind of like be like, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna create a book that I've always wanted to have that other people can have. And so people can have the knowledge.
Yeah, I definitely think that that's also certainly why I got started. When I first wrote CETA and I was writing the articles on the beta blog, there was really only one other book around, which was Jason Armstrong's Solosexual.
Yeah,
And
love that
he
book.
had just published it, and I was so inspired by that. And it made me realize exactly what you just said, which is there are umpteen sort of books around about masturbation, but there wasn't anything which was about being a beta, and they're different things. And also, you know, that like bait culture was kind of really, as I said before, growing and changing and taking off, and you know, it's kind of felt even a little bit more fledgling at that point. You know, this is like 7, 8 years ago. And so I definitely felt like there was space in literature and books for writing from, you know, as a beta writing about bait. And so, yeah, I thought, okay, well, these books aren't out there. We've got Jason Armstrong's book, which is amazing, and there's space now for more. And so that kind of made me think, okay, I can write these books, and if, you know, if I had sort of discovered them as a young beta, I'd be happy to read them, and I'd find them entertaining, and I'd learn from them. So you're right. It was a kind of act of filling what I think was a gap in our literature.
Speaking of being
But
a young beta, like how young were you? Like, I'm just so curious to understand. Like, I want to know, like, when maybe the catalyst, the questions you were asking, like the emotions that you were feeling at a time where you were just like, okay, there's something happening here. Like, there's like the, you know, it's like the beginnings, you know, the birth of a beta within you. And I feel like there's always that moment within people to, you know, if. With that goes with any identity to say that there's something here that I need to pay attention to. I'm curious to know when that happened for you.
Because I think for me it was something which I recognized in myself quite young. So, you know, as my sexuality developed, I was a young beta, and I think so. You know, being in the position I am now, looking back on myself at that time, I didn't have the language for it, or the sense of identity that I do now, but I was definitely a young beta. I was like adventurous, passionate about it. I had another friend at school. She was like female beta, and
Nice.
the two of us, yeah, it was great. The two of us would sort of share with each other what like we were up to, and then we became quite precocious, and like we would go to parties and say, okay, like from 11 till 12 in the upstairs bedroom, that's a space for anyone that wants to masturbate. And we would say this at parties, and you know, and like anybody could come into the room if they wanted to come into the room, they didn't have to. And so, you know, that I look at that and I'm like, that's a young beta. What happened though is that as I got into my 20s, and then even in the like start of my 30s, I kind of moved away from that, and I focused on partnering. I focused on being a gay man. I focused on, or I was asking questions of what am I? Am I a top, bottom? Like I was starting to ask all these kind of you know, quote unquote, more boring questions about myself, about where I should fit in, and then it wasn't until in my 30s again that I started to move back to the truth of who I was, which was like, you know, as I had discovered when I was a teenager, that I was a young beta and I loved baiting. And so it was in my 30s then that, and I'd finished a very long-term relationship at that point. So I had some freedom to sort of stop and assess myself and work out what made me happy. And so it was about that point that I started to bail out and ask myself that question, do I masturbate too much? And then that was really like the discovery of becoming a beta. And then betas talk about this all the time. You know, when you come across the identity of being a beta, it's just like this aha moment. Like, yes, that's what I am. I didn't know that existed.
Well, that's such a big relief because you can finally, like, it's just like it's comforting to know, right? Like these ideas and these thoughts and these emotions, you're just like, okay, like there is it's important to find people that are just like you because it begins to normalize it. And I think as I continue to do this podcast and I continue to just kind of like be present in this space, I think that's always like in the back of my mind. Ultimately, it's just another way to like really enforce and normalize this lifestyle and to make people feel like there is community. And it's always really exciting when people are just always so like, oh, I found this thing and I didn't know that it existed. And you're just like, yeah, I feel like it's been existing for a very long time. But also too, I think it's like a movement. It's with the times, right? That we're in a time where people are just kind of like discovering these things that have always existed. It's like a renaissance of sorts, I feel. People are out
Yeah,
here
I think
just being
you're right.
their authentic selves and just being like, I've always been this, and now
Yeah.
I'm holding, I'm taking up space, which is really nice.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel that sense, and I feel that there's such a big difference. If I had said 10 years ago I was a beta, it's like nobody would kind of really even know what that was. Now people know what it is. Now people respect that. And I do feel like, as you say, it's a kind of renaissance of it, because it's not as if we invented baiting.
Right.
It's like
No, it's been around for millennia since the dawn of time, dude.
it's probably the first and most ancient of all sex acts. So
Right?
it's
Yeah. Like even before we learned how to have sex with each other, like we were having sex
yes.
with ourselves. Like what the fuck? Like it's nothing new.
It's not new. It's not new.
I've
But,
just, yeah.
feeling good about it, and also kind of tying it into lifestyle and identity, that is, I think, sort of the times. So I think that is something that's really is happening now, and I'm delighted to see it. I think it's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a
Because it gives
great.
people agency because you're just like, okay, this is on the table, this is not on the table. What are you gonna do about that? Right? At least we give you choice, or like that's where I come from in my own life. Like people are just like, well, what are you about? And I'm just like, well, these are the things that I'm offering. Like
Absolutely.
it's really up to you. And I was having a conversation with, his name slips me, but he hosts the Seattle Jack Off Club. Lots of beta sex.
Lots of.
I'm a big fan of your ex. Your Twitter.
Oh, yes.
I think it's really cool. Again, I feel like the writer comes out in you. Like definitely. That's what I'm saying. Like you have such a voice in the community, and it comes from such a like a gentle, like I don't know, like a sophisticated older brother is kind of like the vibe you gives off. But
That's
you're
lovely.
Yeah, but I feel like you're so many things to like so many different people. Do you get that a lot? Like, I feel like your advocate, your coach, your mentor, your big bro, maybe your little bro. I don't know if that's
Yeah.
something you explore, but like, I just feel like, how do you tap into all these different aspects of yourself to like provide to others? It's pretty cool.
How do I do that? I mean, I just think from my point of view, it is about fun, and it's about joy, and it is about just trying to be true to myself. And I never really set out to become Twitter famous or super famous or anything like that. And so nothing has been really curated in that sense. And so I think, if I do look back over my posts, because of that kind of lack of curation, you know, sometimes I'm just like really flippant and sort of, you know, just kind of fun, or sometimes I'm a little bit more serious and pensive, because they're really just coming from how I'm feeling in that moment, where I just think, oh, I've got something I want to say or want to put out there. And so because of all those, showing all those different sides to me, I guess it kind of connects with people in different ways. I certainly have a lot of people reaching out, you know, in that sort of wanting to let me know that either the books or my ex or whatever has made them feel better about themselves and what they're doing, in that same way that, you know, do I masturbate too much, when you discover community. And I love that. And so, you know, you know, they certainly do see me as a kind of coach or a mentor figure. But what I really love is when people say, they respond to how positive I am about masturbation.
Yeah.
And that's something I really love hearing, because that's, if there is one constant now for me, that's really what it is for me, is not just saying masturbation is normal, but actually saying masturbation is extraordinary. And I think that that's kind of what my kind of message is really about.
I think that's a really powerful message, because I feel like that journey can look so different for so many different people.
Yeah.
And there is going to come, and I feel like I felt it now in my life, where it's like, okay, in the beginning it was like gooning was good, or baiting was good, and it was gooning was great. And now I'm at a point just as a masturbator, and I've mastered my own genitalia and my own body and my own kind of sexual health, where I can say baiting is really extraordinary. Like, I've had moments where I felt extraordinary feeling, unreal things that I've never really possibly felt ever in my entire life through masturbation. And it's really hard to articulate that, because people just think you're crazy, you're making it up, or like, but everything is so relative. Like, my extraordinary isn't exactly your own. So it's like,
absolutely,
when people get there and they feel it, then I'm just like, you get it. Like, I told you, but like, you know, eventually, I knew eventually you'd get there. And that's always the really fun part for me.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I'm the same. I mean, you know, discoveries about my body and about like the intensity of feeling and sexual pleasure that I have discovered in masturbation. I'm just so thankful for it. Like, you know, that first time when I worked out how I could multi-cum, which I did in masturbating in the bath, and I kind of, you know, I was masturbating, and then I was like, that one stroke too many. And then I was like, oh, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. And I took my hand off and I did exactly what I'm doing now. I lifted my hand up to my head, like, oh no, I stroke one stroke too many, and then came. And then I was like, I put my hand back on my cock at the right time. And I was like, hold on, this is not over. And I just kept going. And now that is something which I have kind of, as you say, mastered, perfected. That's the most like miraculous thing to have discovered from my point of view, about my body and about like my penis and orgasm and pleasure, which I discovered in masturbation. And, you know, I think, I hope that there will be even more discoveries that come. And I think that not having to kind of, worry about somebody else in that moment, where your entire focus is yourself, that's why we can experiment and make discoveries, you know, and learn these things about our bodies. So that's why it is extraordinary. And you know, I think it's really great that people embrace that idea. And I think that's, you know, I always say, like, in sex ed class in schools, I don't know what they teach masturbation anymore, but when they taught me about masturbation, it was like 10 seconds in class. It's like, oh, and also, you know, masturbation exists, and it's normal. And then they moved on, and I was like, okay, But I would have loved to actually go beyond that and go, masturbation is normal, but also masturbation is extraordinary. And masturbation means that you can make these great, great discoveries about pleasure.
Yeah. It's such an intimate way to like discover who you are. Well, I realized that I was a multi-comer because of you. Because I was just like, I'm gonna be like a multi-comer just like this guy, and I know that he can do it, I can do it too. And again, it was like that challenge to my, and it was such a beautiful challenge to me because all I ever did was feel pleasure, like on so many different levels. And then all of a sudden, I was just like, okay, I'm coming, but nothing's coming out. And I was like, okay, what's happening? Let me push this a little bit further. So again, it's like testing your limits within you and kind of testing your own sexual boundaries, and to like to discover that your body can do that, or you can train your body to do that. Again, it's like all the whole mental thing. It's a really cool
Absolutely.
surprise. I'm just like, I'm fucking punk rock that I can like make my body feel so amazing. And like I don't know, like I just feel like from the outside, like I would be so jealous of me. Like I'd be like, well, how's that bro doing it? And I think,
It's like magic, isn't it? It's like a magic trick that
yes.
you've performed, and from the outside they're like, what's the trick? What's he not telling us?
But you, I feel like you do it in a way that's like, you do it, you are telling them. You've written it out like a step by step, and I feel like just follow the steps and you'll get there again. And I feel like it's gonna come that moment where they're with themselves, and like, and I hope it does happen for people that way. Like I want them to be completely by themselves in their element, just full of just like horny amazingness, and then they experience that, and it's something for you to hold on to. You know what I'm saying? Like that shit's for me and for me only, and it's something that's really special.
I do lay it out, and I lay out what works for me, and encourage people to try it, and then if they are open, it might be something else. But unless they start to try and to want to get more out of their bodies, they won't make these discoveries. So, it may not work exactly, and I do even write that. I'm like, don't give up. That's the other thing. Some guys try, as I state, and then they go, it didn't work, so therefore it won't work. And then they just sort of close up. And I just say, no, don't. Like, just keep exploring, keep playing, just keep seeing what your body can do, and you'll just discover that your body can achieve so many things that you just didn't think was possible. Because how we're trained, like we're just trained that orgasm and ejaculation are the same thing, and when they're not, and like that is just the first thing a beta should learn. It's not the same
True.
thing, and you can explore ejaculation in so many different ways. You can explore orgasm in so many different ways, and they don't have to involve each other. All of that stuff is just like a kind of hidden pool inside us all that we just need to give ourselves the time to go explore and discover.
That's hot.
Hidden pool inside us. I
Even when you speak, I'm
don't
just like,
know,
what is this? Is like, I
man.
love listening to you like speak, and
Where
I'm
did
just like, he's like writing a book right now, a fucking manifesto. You should write a
Fucking
manifesto. Do you have a
that's
manifesto?
look, not really. I mean, I think that the books all add up to that kind of thing. There's parts
No,
of
yeah.
DC.
No, it's true. I feel like it's an accumulation of all these things, but I just feel like. Like a, you need like a solid, just like a one piece, two piece, whatever manifesto to really like make your stamp. I feel like I feel like you have it in you, bro. But tell me, I feel like you didn't you at one point like host masturbation parties, or do you still host masturbation parties?
I did, and I don't.
Okay.
And there's a lot of people in Melbourne where I live who are still reaching out and saying, please start them up again.
So let me, can I ask, like, when did you first start it? Like, what was that looking like? Why did you start it? What did you feel the need? Was there a lack for something in the community that you felt needed to be
So
there?
Look, again, it was that same thing that I was saying about the lack of books about bait culture, that there wasn't a bait space. We did have this amazing organization called Melbourne Wankers, which had been going since the 80s,
Oh, that's
which
cool.
did attend. Yeah, like this is like old school men who love masturbation. And it was a great experience. I did go along to a couple of experiences there. It was very tactile and about massage and and then about like mutual touch. And then I thought, okay, well that's wonderful, but from my point of view, bait culture is different again. You know, it's not necessarily about massaging somebody else or touching someone else. It can be like absolutely 100% hardcore focused on yourself. And so I thought, I think there's room for a really bait focused event. We had an amazing sort of sex club here, and they were open to the idea. And so I just ran every month stroke jerk off club. We ran for about 2, 3 years, and then with all the lockdowns, we had to stop. But then, unfortunately, my amazing venue sold off and became apartments, and so
Oh, sorry. It's a
we
bummer.
didn't have the cool venue. And then looking around for other venues, nothing ever really kind of gelled, and then the whole thing sort of just went a little bit dormant. So I am thinking about resurrecting it because there's definitely a vibe of betas in this city. But it's work, like it's also at some point, sometimes I thought this is more work than fun for me. And I have to be very careful to not let that feeling happen again. And I've got to work out how to make sure that I don't land in that space again where it feels like the work is kind of outweighing the reward. So, but I know how to do that. That's about reaching out to your brothers and saying, I need help on this. Like, and there's so
Yeah,
many people.
absolutely. I feel like you'd have so many people to like volunteer time and efforts. And I think that's, but isn't that like isn't that like club mentality? Like it's like team effort, right? Like everyone, you identify what people's strengths are and then you put them to work and say, okay, let's make this thing vibrant. And I feel like I feel like just you spearheading it and like saying, okay, it's gonna start up, I need people to do certain things. I feel like you definitely have people jumping at the bait and be like,
Absolutely.
hell fucking yeah.
Absolutely. And then, and then it's
What were
not
those
awful.
bait parties like? Wait,
What are
when
they
did that
like?
run? Well, yeah, when did that run? When did that it was Stroke Jackal Club.
So it would have been like 2018 through to 2020.
Okay. And what was that
Yeah.
like? Like what kind of people were up in the club?
Yeah, like it was never huge. We probably had 20, 30 guys at any time, which I think is
I
kind of,
like that. Yeah,
I think, yeah, it's a nice amount.
that's a good one, but yeah.
And we kind of had a sort of slightly sleazy vibe. So, like the lights
Nice.
were really low. There was everything you needed at hand. But otherwise, we had the rules very clearly. Just up as you walk towards the space, you just pass the rules about like this is on, that's not on, this is on, that's not on. And then, guys just got into it, and there was the guys who were there to like have solo sex, and then there were guys that wanted mutual, and it just found a really sort of organic form. Yeah, and then there would be guys who just wanted to have everybody come on them, and there were some
Nice.
guys who wanted to be much more ex like exhibitionistic, and so they would get up on these kind of platforms, and so it did feel like a kind of fun little sort of sex club vibe, just absolutely focused on the bait. So yeah, it was a lot of fun. It's
That's
a
really
shame you
fun.
did not find yourself in Melbourne at the time.
I want to go so bad. I feel like
Really?
Yeah, like I've met a couple of Australian people here in California, and I'm always just like, oh, I want to go and be fun. Be like, Australians will like love you. Like, okay, cool. I don't know. I would love to
Absolutely.
go. I feel like yeah, I want to go there, and I want to go to New Zealand.
Oh, amazing country.
I definitely want to travel. But yeah, I thought for a while I might have traveled to Australia to like live my life. But that was like one of the many stops when I was younger. I was like, oh, I'm gonna go to, like, I don't know, like when I was younger, when I was a teenager, I would like map out my life in different countries. But then I also too wanted to like go to like Mexico. I was like, let me go back to the motherland and like kind of like figure out my roots and like who I'm really about. And yeah, I still want to do that. There's just, I don't know, I've always fantasized, or not fantasized, but romanticized the idea of living in other places for sure. I don't know, I feel like I've always had a really adventurous spirit.
I think that's
Have
something
you
I share.
lived, have you lived, were you born and raised in Australia? Have you been there all your life?
No, I was born here, but I was born in Sydney and then I moved to Melbourne. And part of that was a sort of smaller version of what we're talking about wanting to go somewhere far away. I mean, the two cities are pretty far away, and they are quite different. And that was, I did
What's
that
the
one.
difference between the two?
Sydney is flashy. Melbourne's a little bit more grungy.
Oh, nice.
Melbourne, they always say Melbourne has the culture. Sydney's got the
Oh,
beach and the sights.
got it.
I think increasingly, these kind of definitions become a little bit more slippery, because Sydney's really got a lot going on in terms of culture too.
Yeah.
But because it's further north and warmer and positioned as it is about celebrating the harbour, the beaches, the lifestyle, if you want it, is about outdoors, beaches, that sort of, Australian sort of surfer thing. Whereas Melbourne, we are not real, we're on a bay, but we're not by the coast. And so we're not looking at water. We're looking more inward at buildings and and so it's just a different kind of way of living.
Okay, if
So
I visit Australia, should I go to Sydney or Melbourne? Both?
you have to do both, but you have to have the right guide in Melbourne,
Okay.
which I'm raising my hand. Because Melbourne is like one of those little cities that you need to spend some time in, and you've got to sort of scratch the surface,
Yeah.
and it is literally a city that you can get lost in because it's got like little laneways, and you need to walk up the laneway even though you don't know what is going to be at the end. It's that sort of city. It's about time and exploring, and the concept of the have you come across the concept of the flaneur?
No, what is that?
A flaneur, I'm a bit of a flaneur. So a flaneur is somebody that just walks to make discoveries, and so the flaneur sort of strolls the city, not sure where they're going, and if their attention gets pulled this way, they go down that.
Oh
So
no, I have too much anxiety for that. I need to know exactly where I'm going, how to get there, what's going to be in my way. Need to like anticipate.
Are you in LA?
Yeah, I'm in Los Angeles.
Yeah. Well, I mean, also, Los Angeles is not a walking city. Like, there would be
No,
no
it isn't. It really
flaneur.
isn't. No. No.
Flaneury as a concept does not exist in
But
LA.
then that's
I remember
you.
being there and trying. I was like walking in LA because I'm used to walking, and people would look at me strange, like, what? Who's that guy? Why is he
Wait, when was the
walking?
last time you were in
Probably about 10 years ago.
LA? But
Yeah.
I feel like that's why I would like curate these lives of other places, because I just felt like I don't know if it's just a long time, Ellie. It fucks with my anxieties. And I was just like, I need to go somewhere, like live in some fucking cul-de-sac or like, like I just need to live by like woods and a stream. Like I just want to be able to open my backyard and like kind of walk down to a river. Like I always fantasize that life, the life of a what, you say the life of a Flennard?
Flaneur, FLANE,
Flenner. Flenner.
like a French word, the
Oh,
flaneur.
got it.
Look it up. Incorporate some flânerie.
Yeah, I'm gonna try. I mean, the most I'll do is like go on like a chill hike, and like I'll discover like a route that way. But I'm not doing it on the streets of LA. There's too much shit on the ground.
Yeah.
<Uh-oh.
I hear you. Anyway, so yeah, I mean,
clears
Australia is a wonderful place. I love it here. I really do love it. But I mean, I share that thing of wanting to be somewhere else for some parts of my life. I
If you
think it's
could, what
good
if you
for us.
could, if you could be somewhere else, where else would you be?
Oh God, it's such a cliche, but like Venice.
Italy?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. I've always wanted to go to Italy. Someone said I would do really good in Berlin.
Oh, I think you would. Berlin is probably the next city I would have said. I have been
Yep.
to Berlin. Yeah, and I think
That's fucking cool. You know, I
anything.
watch a lot of 60 Minutes Australia. You guys have really good 60 Minutes.
Yep.
There's
Really?
don't laugh at me. Yeah, I watch it on YouTube, and my favorite I don't know what her name is. I don't know if you watch it, but there's this woman with a really short bob. She was so good. What is her name again? That woman's name?
I think if we're talking about the same woman as Tara, there used to be another journalist also had a blonde bob called Liz Hayes. And yeah, I know
That
exactly
might
what you
be.
mean. I don't watch 60 Minutes regularly, but they really do like to bail people up and hit them with the hard questions.
That's so good though. Like I just feel like as a journalist that you should be doing that shit. She's so
Yes.
cool. She's so cool. I'm like, man,
She
that's
is
a bad
cool.
bitch.
How on earth did you begin watching Australian 60 Minutes?
I watch a lot of YouTube and it just like popped up in my algorithm. Like I'm just fascinated with like news stories and headlines, and I think I was just like doing like a random news story search. She like interviewed this a young girl with like really horrible Tourette's. I don't
Okay.
know if you've ever seen that episode, but
Thank you.
yeah, she was so compassionate and she was so like endearing and really super smart. I don't know. It's cool. And then you have like the opposite end of the spectrum, but I was watching like Real Housewives of Melbourne. I think it was Real Housewives of Australia. Do you watch this?
Yes, I did watch the. I don't watch them.
Okay.
I did watch the first couple of
Yeah, the
series.
first couple of seasons with like God, what is her name?
The
She's like this,
lawyer.
she was like this beautiful Italian bronzed woman. She had the hair up. I don't know what her
Yeah.
name was, but they were incredible people. I was just like, yo, Australia's off the hook.
What is her name? She is actually a working and very famous barrister. Like she is she's a lawyer. And sometimes they say these things on the show, like that's my occupation, and maybe they did that at some point, but it's not really something they still do. She really still does. And she
Nice.
looks like that when she goes into the Supreme Court. She
She just looks
arrives.
all dolled up, looking like a
Yes.
drag queen and shit. Damn, shit, that's fucking
Yes,
dope.
just remembered her name's Gina Liano.
Gina, that's who it was. Yeah. Yeah. They were off the chain, though.
Best line, which sometimes people still pull out, is when she said to someone, "You are an insignificant ass
That's
hair."
hair. Who says that to people, bro? Like, that's fucking genius. Like, I wish I would have thought of that. I'm gonna say that to someone next time. Be like, you're so
Oh.
insignificant.
Man, my face is
Although,
hurting.
because I'm laughing too much.
Oh, okay.
Although, I don't feel like ass hair is that. I feel like ass hair is very significant.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
Don't you?
I would pull
Don't
her
you?
up on that I'd say, point of fact, Gina Liano, I don't think ass hairs are insignificant at all.
I'm gonna challenge you on that. Like,
Yeah.
butthair fuels my beat. Like, it's not, it's important.
They can be extremely important to me.
What do you see for yourself, beta journey or solo sexuality? Like, how do you see it getting bigger and better? And
I want to keep writing. I really want to keep writing. I really want to keep exploring. And I want to look back at my creativity and the things that I achieved as a writer, mm-hmm. and writing about betas. I mean, I want to write a novel. I'm in the middle of writing a novel. These are the hardest possible books to write. And, the central character is solosexual, massive masturbator. And I'm writing a story which is about that sort of person as a key character. I'm really proud of that, you know.
So like, you're writing about yourself? I mean, I feel like as a writer, you put in a lot of yourself in your work, right? You tap into like who you are as a human being and kind of weave your narrative in there somehow.
Absolutely, yes. I mean, that's what any novelist would do, is that the characters are different versions of themselves. Yeah. But I guess what I'm saying is, you know, like making a solosexual masturbator the hero of a story. That's what I'm really proud about. And, you know, that's the sort of thing I want to keep doing as a writer.
Are you interested in film at all?
Yes. And okay. I do write for films.
You do? See, I could see you doing like a really cool indie movie on soul sexuality. Maybe that's about something. Betas. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've always loved film. And so I feel like, I don't know, like I'd ask you that question because I feel like that's kind of like the next big challenge for me. Like, I created the pod, you know, it took a while, like kind of worked out the kinks. I have this down and I love it, but I think, I don't know, like ideas are kind of moving in that direction when I really think about it and I give myself space. I'm just like, I've always loved film. And it's really exciting, you know, potentially create something in that
and arena. Would you like, I mean, you know, let's collab. Would you like it to be like fictional or a really great?
I feel like a fictional character loosely based on my life. Like, I see myself like playing it and like directing it and producing it and kind of like, you know, making it this thing for sure. Yeah.
So like the lead character is beastly.
Yeah,
you'd be sort of beastly as another
as like another person. Yeah, for sure. Because I don't know if I could necessarily act, but I could just be myself. And like, if I could just be myself as someone else, I think that probably fit a little better.
I think you're right. Like we that's the next frontier. Is getting bait culture into films. But why stop there? The theater, musicals.
Music? I mean, the music already exists. I'll give you like
The music does exist. The music's amazing. I love beta tunes.
I love beta tunes. Or I love just beaters that are creating music.
Yes.
Like really cool artists. I'll give you some people to listen to.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Let's share our favorite art stuff.
Yeah, and all the other porno stuff too.
Let me know.
I want to say thank you so much for talking to me on my podcast. It was so cool.
It's
geeking out the entire time. But tell people where people can find your stuff and like know more about you.
Well, look, you can Google MB Timothy and you'll find the place to find my books. It's the Big Evil Corporation. But that's where
Amazon.
But that's where you can buy them, and I make them available as paperbacks and also as ebooks, depending on how you like to read. I mean, I personally love a physical copy. So
you should do audiobooks too.
That's in my mind. That is in my mind. Yeah.
You have a really great voice.
Is it it's the Australian accent.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
It gives you a character. But they can also follow you on X at Stroke JO Club.
That's it.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'd love to hear from people. I'm always very happy. I love getting DMs. So you're very, very, I'm very welcoming to people reaching out or, asking questions about the book as they read through. And so, yeah,
Yeah,
reach
just
out.
be nice.
That's right. Just be nice.
Yeah, it's always nice when they're nice.
Yeah.
All right, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the BetaScape podcast. I'm BC Bader. You can follow me under that handle. Thanks again for being on my podcast. It was so lovely to
I've
chat
loved
with
it.
you. Again, thank you for all you do for the community. You inspire us to be better masturbators, and we are grateful for it.
Honestly, my pleasure. Thank you so much for asking me to be on.
Thanks, and I'll see you in the next episode. Bye, y'all. Hey, what's up? It's me, BC. Hey, I hope you really enjoy this episode of the BetaScape podcast. I love producing these shows. I love talking to other masturbators about masturbation, and I just love talking to other people about sex in general. If you love this episode, make sure that you like, follow, subscribe, and that you're sharing. Probably the most important thing that you can do for this podcast is to share it. Share it with everyone you know. Share it with that solo sexual masturbator, bater gooner in your life. Let them know that they're not alone in their solo sexuality. And again, I thank you always so much for your continued support with this podcast. Love ya.